as I was just saying to myself before I unmuted myself, that's a great question. The PAs have to keep their license available for inspection wherever they're working, at their primary place of practice. So that's one way that we can help with this problem. The other is that when they are working as a PA, they have to wear a name tag that identifies them as a PA. Sometimes that is on a white jacket, they have their name and they're, you know, followed by physician assistant sewn on, or they're wearing a hospital badge that says that they are a PA. Some hospitals have gotten very good about making those badges very identifiable and very clear, not just for PAs, but for all practitioners and providers and folks that are going to be involved in and working with patients, so that the patients know who they are dealing with. The other issue, of course, is that a PA cannot identify as a physician. That's an obvious one. And if a patient misidentifies them as a physician, the PA really should correct it. So if somebody walks up to a PA and says, "Dr. Smith, I'm so glad to see you today," the PA should say, "Sorry, I'm not Dr. Smith. I'm a physician assistant." Make sure that the patient understands the difference and is clear on the credentials of the person that is providing the care to them at that time. Another thing that's helped out is that the Texas Health and Safety Code now requires hospitals to require their employees to wear this badge that I just talked about, that includes such information as the name and the department, what the license type is of the person wearing it. So you'll see these on MRTs, medical radiologic technologists, you'll see it on RCPs, anybody like that who's working with a patient and has direct patient care should have a badge like that on, as far as is concerned under the Texas Health and Safety Code now. So that identification of the employees in the hospital is very clear.
I know with advanced practice nurses, they also have to wear identification, but it doesn't seem like the patients have the same issues as PAs do. And I think it's because the public out there really doesn't understand what a PA is. When they see RN, they understand that, but they don't understand PA. So I'm glad you brought this up to make it real clear what is required for PAs. So you talked earlier about their certification. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about that.
The PAs can obtain certification. The NCCPA certification is required for licensure in Texas. This is obtained when they first apply. They take the PANSI, which is the initial certification exam. When they are renewing, they take the renewal exam. That's every 2 years. And that, as I said, gives them the NCCPA certification. They have to maintain that certification and re-examine every 2 years to get that back. They can also specialize. This is interesting because a lot of folks don't know that physician assistants can specialize, but they can. This is an additional educational component to what they've already got, and they can get something called a certificate of added qualifications in one of seven different areas, or I guess in many of seven different areas, but seven are available. Right now, they include cardiovascular and thoracic surgery, orthopedic surgery, pediatrics, psychiatry, nephrology, emergency medicine, and hospital medicine. So this is an additional certification that they undergo by obtaining further training in these specialized areas, further continuing medical education, as well as testing. It's a 10-year certification. So the requirements are that they make these ongoing CME, they obtain ongoing CME throughout that 10-year process, and then retest. So it's a nice way for physician assistants to specialize, get into a niche practice of medicine if they want to do, more so than just by training and education.
So I have a quick question about that. Once they have gone into one of the seven specialties, are they required then to stay within that specialty?
Certainly not. They can switch as much as they want. It's just a matter of finding one that they like, of course, and making the decision to switch. They can retrain. They don't have to have a certificate of added qualifications in order to move to a different specialty. So if they've gotten it in orthopedic surgery, for instance, they can move to a pediatric practice and become a specialist in that just by sort of on-the-job training and further CME education without going through the process of gaining the certificate of added qualifications, which is the formal, I guess, way of showing your specialization in a certain field of medicine.
Great, thanks. So Joe, I know that APRNs have a lot of certifications going on. So If you don't mind telling us about that, that would be great.
Right. Instead of how the PAs have it all set up, there are a number of organizations that an APRN can get certified through. And this list on this slide and the next slide are not exhaustive lists. These are the most commonly accepted examinations for each role and specialty or population focus. But the board would consider any certification exam under Rule 221.5 using those factors. We would determine whether a certification could be accepted. So the 221.5 factors include whether the program is national in scope, conditions for the exam must be consistent with acceptable standards of the testing community, and they have to ensure minimal competence.